whole shoe disconnect with me. So, let's.
It's hard to find places.
No, I know. Or libraries.
I tried the libraries. And, well, they only would do for big people. We could have met in the library, but again, it would have been how do you talk in a library?
Leave it on.
Okay.
I've got more there.
Great. And I can tell that it'll let me know if there's a problem. So, good evening. I will let you forget your phone.
Thank you.
And I thank you for using it. Welcome to the first of what I hope to be a weekly meeting. Generally, just to start out telling you what I do, I travel from city to city, from place to place, teaching Kabbalah. I utilize the meetup system to make contacts in places I've never been, like Sacramento. Why I do that is something that I will explain in a little bit. It's initially when people meet me and I say I have voices tell me what to do, they think I'm crazy. So I'm not going to tell you that, because I'm not crazy.
I'm crazy and I'm crazy. So we're artists, so we're allowed to be crazy.
That's understood.
And we're completely looking to do all this other slightly off.
The course or the classes are 20 weeks long. I will only be physically present for about 8 or 10 of them. After that, we'll use an internet system, either from your home, if somebody is willing to open their home to a few people. I have a system that I can have up to 6 video conferencing together. So if it's 3 or 4 of you, you can all be in your own homes, all be able to see each other and interact. So, but I like to use the same venue for the last half of the classes as for the first, because the real intent is to build community. Because there's more power, there's more connection, there's more miracles when we work together. The basic question is, what is Kabbalah? And does anybody have an answer? Anybody want to guess? Light. Okay. Now, if you say light to this young lady, does it mean anything to her? Let's operate with words like God. God is different to you than to him, than to her, than to me. We each have individual gods. But there's only one God. But it's more meaningful, or it means different things to different people. In the Torah, and all of what I teach, all of the Kabbalah is based on what the Bible says. So we start with one assumption in this class. It's an assumption I cannot prove to you, nor will I prove it to you. But I will ask you to do certain actions over the next 3 to 6 months that will allow you to prove it to yourself. This is a course in experiences. It's not a course in intellect. The goal of the course, the goal of the experiences, is to have a personal connection with the Creator. So let's start with one question. Can you not have a belief in the Creator and still study it, still utilize it? And the answer is, the Creator doesn't care whether you believe in him or not. He created a system, and that system works. Whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it, whether you natural law. We are just utilizing aspects of natural law that work on us at the level. It could be that you died, it could be that we'll hear something if it's going to be a problem. So there is one rule in this class, and only never believe a word I say. Because I'm not here to prove anything to you. I'm here to give you information. What you do with that information is up to you. If you utilize it, as I suggest you do, you will end up in 3 to 6 months looking back and saying, I have changed. I am a better person today than I was yesterday. And this stuff works. I don't know why it works. I don't know how it works, but it works. Now, what do I mean when I say it works? Everybody in this world has chaos in their life. You will have less chaos. Ultimately, you will have no chaos. But that's up to you and how much you want to work with the tools. Never believe a word I said, but please try what I suggest. There's also an assumption that I won't prove to you. The assumption is that the Creator wants to share goodness with his creations. We are his creations. Every atom is his creation. Every table, every animal, every plant is his creation. And he only wants to share goodness with his creations. It's an assumption. Don't intend to prove it to you. But as I said, 3 to 6 months, you'll look back and say, this works. Maybe it's true. I'm going to give you information. Now, I said for the last time the word belief. You believe in God. You believe that you will be a millionaire. You believe whatever you want. Whenever you say the word belief, you are implying a level of doubt. Why don't we say, I know God? I think, in fact, they lock you up when you say that. If I drop this, will it fall to the table? Is that belief or knowledge?
Yeah.
It's a fact. What's the fact? Gravity works?
Physics.
Yeah. Didn't hold with it. Think outside the box. Whenever you say belief, you are establishing doubt. Now, what is knowledge? The first time the Hebrew word thought, which means knowledge, is used in the Torah, it says, Adam knew Chava, his wife, and she became pregnant. Now, when we learn that as children, did we ask the question, did they have sexual intercourse? Have you ever asked that question? We don't have to ask the question. There's no question that's not asked. It asks the question, did they have sexual intercourse? Did they shake hands? And the answer is they had sexual intercourse. The question is, why didn't they say that? Why did he use the word gods?
Why did he want to ask that?
Well, it's not because it's a bad word or whatever. Elsewhere, they talk about rape, they talk about pillage, they talk about killing everything. So it's not that they're hesitant to use, you know, really destructive words. And obviously, sexual intercourse, I don't consider destructive, but just as an example. What this all explains why they use that is that knowledge knowledge means connection. When you know something, it's because you've experienced it. That's what we are here to teach you, how to experience the goodness of the Creator. Because that's what Kabbalah means, to receive. The reason that there's chaos in the world is not that the Creator doesn't want to give us goodness. We don't know how to receive it, because we don't know why the world was created yet. All of the information, all of the knowledge that is ever needed, ever was needed, ever will be needed, all of that is available in something called our unconscious. But we're disconnected from that. There are techniques to connect to our unconscious and get access to that information. Albert Einstein's a brilliant man, he's living, revealed amazing things. Energy and mass are the same thing. A number of physical concepts. He had some difficulty with the quantum, the uncertainty principle of the quantum levels. It's not the point. The point is, what did he discover? What did he create? Nothing.
No.
He revealed the knowledge. There was a man about 200 years ago who revealed the periodic table. They asked him, how did you discover this? It's amazing. He says, I saw it in a dream. All knowledge is a revelation of connection and experience, whether it's through a dream, through experimentation. It's still a revelation. Nothing new is being created. There was only one thing new ever created in all of the history of the universe. And that's what's called the desire to receive. Because in the Creator, there's no desire. I will say the word he wanted to share. He wanted to be revealed. Excuse me. The Creator wanted to be revealed. What does that mean? Spiritual entities cannot be sensed. Not that they can't be seen or touched or tasted or smelled. They cannot be sensed. Because there is nothing to be sensed. That is a spiritual entity. The Creator is a spiritual entity. He cannot be sensed. He had to create something that sensed him. That's us. He created us. We sense him. But we don't. Why not? We live in the physical world. Is God in the physical world? Is the Creator here?
Every atom.
And every atom is correct. But why don't the atoms move? Why do the atoms reveal this table? They don't create the table, they reveal it.
Why do the atoms
reveal the table? Why does it become a table and not a chair?
It's the
people who built the table had a desire to build the table. They created, they revealed the table. It was in a piece of wood and some glass or plastic. I'm not an expert, so please forgive that. But they revealed the table. They had a desire to reveal the table. They didn't create the table. But by revealing it, they became a co-creator. This world's purpose is to be, for us to be a co-creator. Ultimately, we cannot be the ultimate creator. We were created beings. We can't be the creator, but we can assist the creator. We can be a co-creator. And that's what this world is for. But there's one other aspect of being a co-creator. Another set of words that we will use, and vocabulary is very important, Kabbalah, because the Hebrew language is a very exact, very specific. There is no synonym. There is no two words mean the same thing. There are two words for tree, etz and ilan. They both get translated into English as tree, but they don't mean the same thing. You ask an Israeli who is speaking the language, what's the difference? And I have asked many of them, and they don't know. To them, they use it interchangeably.
They know how to use it.
No, they don't to them, because Hebrew was lost and then re-revealed in the 19th century, or the 20th century. We have lost the difference in the meaning. Now, the Kabbalists always have known of the differences. On one level, you have trees that bear fruit and trees that don't. That's one level of difference. But it's not used that way anymore as a practical matter. On another level, the gematria of the letters, the number value of the letters, tell us what the difference is. The word Ilan has a gematria of 91. That's a number that reflects the unity of the spiritual and the physical names of God. The Tetragrammaton, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and the word Adonai, which would be translated as Lord, but it's much more meaningful. 26 plus 65 is 91. The tree represents the unity of the physical and the spiritual. The word S has a gematria of 160, with a concept called the Kolel, which we'll talk about over time. You don't need to understand it now. It's 161, and that's a word dealing with cleansing. So, what do trees do?
They
transform that carbon dioxide into oxygen to form a cleanser. The food that we eat comes from fruit bearing trees. Gematria 91. Love. There's no two words that have the same meaning.
But unity trees also have the same.
Yes.
They also work for there too.
Yes. There's no reason that it can't be doing two things at the same time in the physical world. In the spiritual world, it doesn't happen. In the spiritual world, there can only be one consciousness. If there's a separate consciousness, it's a separate thing, and they're not. In the physical world, we're separated by 3 feet of space. In the spiritual world, we're separated by the difference in consciousness. In the physical world, I can take fire and ice and put it on the same board. In the spiritual world, they're at opposite ends of the universe. There's no affinity between opposites. Opposites do not attract. They repel. They just move to opposite places. We live in the physical world, which is a world of illusion. Nothing that we sense is true. Our eyes see things upside down. then the retina transforms it or sends it to the brain who interprets it right side up. That process, every step in it has the opportunity to make a mistake, which is another reason that this world was created. What's the purpose? What's the difference between a child and an adult?
Child experience.
And what is another way of framing? What is another way of framing experience? Mistakes. You made a mistake and you learned from it. You don't make it again. You made a mistake. You didn't learn from it. You get to do it again until you do get it. We were talking in this class about reincarnation. We made mistakes. We didn't learn from them. We get to come again and do it again. We will learn about astrology. Not Western astrology, but Hebrew astrology, which talks in terms of the idea of the difference between free will and predetermination. Is everything in your life known? Does the Creator know what you're going to do tomorrow? Does the Creator know what you're going to do tomorrow? You may not know, but does the Creator know? If there is anything that is known, let me rephrase it. Does astrology work? Not Western astrology. Does astrology work?
Not to my experience.
Trust me.
Don't
trust me.
I know that I've got my chart that I'm sure.
Everything is known. I told you that in our unconscious, everything is known. For thousands of years, human beings have said that what happens in the upper worlds, the heavens, also happens in the lower worlds. So above, so below. You've heard the phrase, you've heard the adage. Astrology works. You want to know what you're going to do tomorrow, you can look at your chart if you're knowledgeable. Ultimately, that sense, we have no free choice. Except that free choice is very important to the Creator. And He gave us free choice. And how do we reconcile that? We will talk about it. It's very, very important to understand it. The world was created. The world was created as a paradox. Is a paradox an illusion? We won't talk about it because it's a waste of our time. We will only talk about things that can be utilized and help you in your life. If it's something that will waste our time, I will tell it to you, and if you still want to talk about it, we will talk about it. Because there's no question that is cannot be asked. Rabbi Ashlag, who is the founder of the Kabbalah Center, and I don't represent the Kabbalah Center. I do study from Rabbi Ashlag. He died about 40 years ago, 50 years ago. I do study his writings. I do study what he taught and what he teaches even today. He basically said there is a first cause. That's what the Creator is. Creator is not the first cause. The first cause cannot be named. If I say paper, you know what I'm talking about. If I say book, you know what I'm talking about. If I say first cause, it's meaningless. You cannot name the first cause. And anything that you cannot name, you cannot understand. And when you do name something, as it said in the Torah, the first parts of Genesis, all of the animals and also plants and the heavenly bodies. everything else came before Adam, and he named them, meaning he understood them. I like the word rock because I'm a Heinlein fan, but he understood it. He named it with a Hebrew word that is its essence. We understand from the name of something in Hebrew what is its essence, where it exists in the overall creation. That's true of you too. Your name has verses in the Bible that speak to you today, because the Creator is talking to you, and one of the ways he talks to you is with those verses. You have to know which ones they are. I developed a website that gives you access to that information automatically. If you're interested, I'll give you a paper that gives it all. So you can go play with it and see what you want to do. It's just one of those tools. I'm sorry? Anytime.
Different schools of thought fundamentals. It's impossible. There's literal, and then there's philosophy. When you study Kabbalah, are we looking at it in a combination, or is it literal, or philosophy, allegory, story?
First, let me address the issue of translations. The energy of words is from the Hebrew letters. The first essence created was not the shape of the letters or their names. What was created was a consciousness, and that consciousness manifested in the Hebrew letter. That was the first thing created, because it was the tool to create everything else. The Zohar says that the Creator played with the letters for 2,000 years. Well, first off, we have to understand what that means, because there was no time. The sun and moon hadn't been created, so what does 2,000 years mean? But let's not deal with that. The letters are the building blocks of creation. They build into words. The word is a name. The word is the essence of something, the consciousness of something. The energy intelligence is the word that Rabbi Berg uses. Everything has an energy intelligence. That is the thing's essence. The Hebrew language is that language. Any other language lessens it. So if you translate, there's a lessening of the essence, a lessening of the power, a lessening of the information. We will speak in English. We will use the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew words. You do not have to learn them. That's because they were created to transfer metaphysical energy into the physical world. They do that job very well. We will use them, but it's not that you have to know. I choose not to speak Hebrew for their one very simple reason. I don't know what I'm transferring. I can be transferring by saying there's one particular word that I don't like to say, but it translates as the word very, as in very good. That word in Hebrew, its Kabbalists teach us, was what was the moment of creation for the angel of death. So every time you say that word, you're transferring that energy. I prefer not to transfer that energy. But it's also true in other words. I don't know what I'm transferring, so I prefer not to speak it. We're here to learn about this world being an illusion. So it over and count the letter X. How many letter F's you see in that sentence? Don't worry about the smaller friends. It's the instructions.
F is in French.
Glad you asked that. From the pause. And so how many people think there are three letter F's? Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Let's count. Every time I say the letter F, I'll give you the word at the same time, but please count them both. I won't count them, you will. There's one F in finished, one F in file, one F in of, one F in of, one F in scientific, one F in of. It's a total of six. Now, this gentleman is not.
He's too small.
No, what it is, and this is the tool. Both of these women have Virgo in their charts. They were given the tools to see details. People who don't speak English as their first language always get this right. Because the error that we make, we say the word of, there's no F sound in of, it's a B. And as we're counting, the ego comes in and says, it's a waste of time, I know what this is. I'm just going to scan it, look at it real quick, and I know the number. I don't have to take the time. Now, they did take the time. That's okay. This is all part of it. But we can understand that we make mistakes with our sight, don't we? You didn't this time. This happened last night in another class. Everybody in the class was not English as a first language. They all got it right. But I'm going to give you another sentence and do the same thing again. We'll see if you get it right the second time. Because they all missed it the second time. After I told them what the cause is. The cause is your ego comes in and says, I know better. I know how to do this. A waste of time. It's too simple. And when we say the sentence, we hear the word the B. We don't hear the frank. We don't hear the F sound. We hear a B sound.
See, when I said I didn't hear anything, I just saw the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I miss the L's every time.
The point is, and I can do this with every sense, every one of our senses is designed to mislead us. Why is it designed to mislead us? If we saw everything that was around us, we would die of fright, is what the Zohar tells us. It scares us. And so because of that mercy, we are given tools called senses that are ineffective. They show us what we want to see. They show us what we want to hear. They show us what we want to taste and what we want to touch. But they are the tools that we were given to achieve what we came into this world to be, that co-creator. But at the same time, they mislead us and don't let us see truth. Now, what is it a child learn about souls?
It's hot.
It's hot. It gets burned. They get a slap on the hand, too. Western society has taught the Descartes system of logic and separation between left and right brains, but essentially they taught the intellectual, not the emotional. Western society functions based on intellect. Let's even start with when I was growing up, they said if you took an IQ test, it could never change. Now they understand that that's not true. Ultimately, intellect is only part of the system. There's another part called emotion. There's another part called the intuitive self. The tools that we will give you, that ask you to utilize, are designed by the Creator to reintegrate your intuitive self. Because in order to experience the Creator, it has to be intuitive. You're driving down the street. You hit a T. You go right or you go left. Always left. Always random. Very simple statement. Which way do you go? Depends on the day of the week. If it's Monday, you're supposed to turn left because down the left road, there's somebody you're supposed to meet who's going to interact with you and exchange energy on a metaphysical level with you. On Tuesday, you're supposed to turn right. If you're connected to your intuition, you know that information. If you're not, you're going to get it wrong because your ego doesn't have the information. You're driving down the street in the freeway. There's a car next to you. You're both doing 60 miles an hour. You're both going the same way. The Talmud tells us that our aura is 84 inches in all directions. And you're surprised that if the Talmud says inches, it doesn't. It's
no, I was saying this is how far away it is.
7 feet.
Far.
Okay, but if you think the width of a car, and the other driver, your auras are interacting as you drive. There's an exchange of energy taking place. But we don't see it. We don't sense it. We're not aware of it. The reason that you're driving on down that road, you think you're going home from work? Absolutely not. You're there to exchange energy with that particular person. And that's why this car is next. You go up in an elevator with somebody, you're there to exchange energy. You're not going up to go see your lawyer. You're going up to exchange energy. The Creator utilizes astrological forces to bring you to situations where you are given free choice of how to interact. You could take the step, and if you were to take the stairs, that person would be coming down the stairs at that moment. It's a totally different perception of the world. We will be looking for ultimate cause. And there's a rule. Cause is always a spiritual. Nothing happens in the physical world that does not first happen in the spiritual. It is caused in the spiritual. If I take a ball and throw it at a window, the window will break. If I take a photograph of that event, the window breaks before the ball gets there. How can that be? The Kabbalists tell us that the ball is talking to the window. Right? Physically, the scientists have taken pictures of a ball breaking a window. And see, they see the window break a moment pitch it. And also far enough in advance that it's not air pressure that breaks it. Because you need to have a more direct connection with that energy exchange is why you're doing it. I was involved with the Kabbalah Flower Center, and there was a man who's 20 years my senior, and this was 18 years ago. So he's roughly my age today. And we're doing a garage sale on the corner, and some people come by and stop the car and start looking at what's for sale. And there's a three-year-old that's part of the group. And this three-year-old is running around, just running around. And this man, who is a Kabbalist, is a student of the Kabbalah. He's following her. And he's saying to me, you see how old her soul is? You see what an old soul she has? He's just following up and down the street. Do you see how old her soul is? He had a need to exchange energy with this little girl. And so he taught himself what an amazing soul. Did he see her soul? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I'm not questioning that. I don't know what he meant when he said old soul, and I still today don't know what that means, because all souls are old. So it's all part of the process. But everything that happens in this world happens with a spiritual cause. Now, the city of Jerusalem is called the Holy City. Why is it called the Holy City? Many people will tell you that it's called the Holy City because the Holy Temple was there at one time. The Holy Temple is a physical building. So it can't be the reason, can't be the cause of it being called the Holy City. The energy in the place is a spiritual cause. Los Angeles has an energy. As she looks up and says, why would anybody want to live there? And I will tell you why. I will tell you why, because I was born there. But as I came to understand Kabbalah, why was I born? Why is the entertainment industry in that city?
Because of the energy.
Correct. But let me tell you what the energy is. There's a nation in the Torah that has said, God is at war with this nation. The name of the nation is Amalek. God is at war with this nation throughout the generations. Always at war. First off, how could the Creator be at war? But let's not even discuss that. What does it mean? The gematria, the numerical value of the word Amalek, is 240. Another word that has 240 is the word Safek, which means doubt. The nation of Amalek represents doubt in the physical world. It represents questioning whether there is a creator. It represents seeing the world as a series of coincidences, where the cause is spiritual. There's no events that's coincidental. The Zohar says that a blade of grass does not grow without an angel hitting it and telling it to grow. The Zohar says if you're walking down the street and a leaf falls from a tree, there's a message in that for you. That's why you saw it. That's why you noticed it. succeeded that way. Now, as you expand your consciousness, not with drugs, but with tools, as you expand your consciousness, more of your conscious level goes up higher and uncovers more of the unconscious. It makes more of the unconscious conscious. That's what we will be doing in these classes, giving you tools of how to live in this world and live in the spiritual world at the same time, which is what our birthright is as human beings.
So every word has a number
attached to it? Every word has a number attached to it. And words that have the same number have a connection. But let me make it very, very confusing to you. You've heard the word Mashiach, Messiah. And you've heard the word snake. They seem to be opposites. They're the same number. And they are opposites. They're two sides of one coin. So you see them as opposites or as unified. It's up to you. Because ultimately there is a purpose for negativity, for evil. But we don't see it. We see the world as negative and positive.
So you think there's a number
in every letter in the Hebrew language has a numerical. When I say a Hebrew word, I'm saying the following things. I'm saying the name of the word. I'm saying the letters of that word fully spelled out. And those letters fully spelled out.
Okay.
I'm saying a number, and I'm saying a song, and I'm saying it all at the same time and communicating on all of those different levels, and that's just part of the levels that I'm communicating.
No.
There are a few who know a few levels, but they don't know all of them. And most of them Hebrew like you speak English. It's totally meaningless to them.
And the Zohar means light.
Zohar means light. It's a word that means light, but there are different. It means brightness, actually.
And so you cannot pronounce it Kabbalah.
One is the English translate, the English pronunciation. One is the Hebrew, and I use them interchangeably.
Kabbalah.
The English is Kabbalah. The difference is in Hebrew the stress is on the second syllable.
And
the
Zohar and Kabbalah are different?
The Zohar on its intellectual level is a commentary on the Torah.
Oh.
But it's actually the essence of the Torah. It's the inner explanation of the codes that are in the Torah. And it's also coded. One more time.